All right. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 8. We're going to continue on our series about Moses. Let's get some scriptures. Brian Mitchell, Exodus 8, 16 through 19. Daniel, Exodus 4, 1 through 4. David, Luke 9, 1. Will, Exodus 8, 16 and 17. Colby, Exodus 7, 11 and 12. Gabe, Exodus 7, 13. Kenny, Matthew 28, 18. Anthony, Revelations 1, 18. And we had David Shear, Luke 9, 1. Okay, so we've been looking at Moses, and we are just following the path of his life. This is a man who had a destiny in God, being used by God. And so we're looking at the different factors that are at work, either already in him or God's work that he did through him. So how do you accomplish the will of God? And so what we're going to look at today, we've had a number of lessons talking about Pharaoh's resistance, and that is that each time Pharaoh comes and tells, or Moses rather, tells Pharaoh the will of God, we've looked at the fact that he resists. So what we're going to look at today, the answer to resistance on any level is the rod of authority. This is used again and again, and so this actually tells us if you want to be a man of God, you need to know how to use authority. So today's lesson is using authority, Exodus 8, 16 through 19.
So the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land, so that it may become lights throughout all the land of Egypt." And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on the man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said.
Okay, so we had 10 plagues, and these are 10 of the main gods of Egypt. Egypt had many gods, and so God was demonstrating his power over all of these gods. We're not going to look at each individual god. What is the meaning of lice, the meaning of frog, the meaning? We're not going to go in that. But actually, in the 10 plagues, you find what I chose out of the one, the judgment of lice, is actually the pattern that you see in almost all of the plagues. So it has to do with using authority. Let's talk about the equipping of authority. The work of God is a supernatural work. And you please do not ever think that the work of God is simply a program or it is natural. I have seen guys approach it with a business mindset, with organizational skills. I've seen guys that have, on paper, they should have been wildly successful because they were organized, they chose a good location, their printing was excellent, their program in advertising, in getting the word out was fantastic, and yet absolutely nothing. So the work of God is not natural, it is supernatural. So therefore, the lesson of the 10 plagues, when you come up against resistance, you can't accomplish a supernatural work with natural power. Try harder, sometimes it's not going to work. It's not going to make a difference. I see guys, that's their answer, is things aren't working. Try harder, witness more, visit people more, follow up more. But the problem is, it's a supernatural work. So in order for us to accomplish the will of God, the story of Moses is God chooses Moses and says, I have something I want you to do. What has to happen is we have to have supernatural power. God has to let us use his. You cannot, in your own strength, accomplish the will of God. So God is going to have to give you his supernatural power. Exodus 4, 1 through 4, this is the calling of Moses.
Then Moses answered and said, suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And then Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand.
Okay, this is the calling of Moses. Remember, we looked in an earlier one about inadequacy. I have a plan for your life. And Moses says, I'm the wrong guy. I can't. In myself, I cannot do this. And so God says, I know that, and I'm going to help you. And in this, an ordinary stick is the shepherd's staff. Branch of a tree, might have had a little hook on the end of it, but it's a stick. And God says, I'm going to add my power to you. The stick is actually you. It's me. It's us. We can't do this on ourselves. But God says, I'll let you use my power. That is actually the principle of authority. Authority is the right to use someone else's power. Right? A good illustration of that is a policeman. A policeman could stand in the middle of the road and put up his hand. He could weigh 165. A semi-truck that weighs 40,000 pounds will stop, not because the trucker is afraid that his 165 is going to damage his truck. He would barely feel the bump if he ran him over. But it's what's behind. If he doesn't stop, he has resources, power that is going to be brought. That is a picture of authority. Luke 9, verse 1.
Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases.
Okay, he gave them power, that's the ability, and authority, that's the right to use someone else's power, God's power. If you have that, then he says you can rule over demons, you can cure diseases. So the answer, you need supernatural power. So in the 10 plagues, woven into them, I think off the top of my head, I'm pulling this from memory, at least 8 out of 10, when he defeats the gods of Egypt, as I said, the frogs, the lice, the Egyptians worshiped weird things, the sun, so God made it dark. They worshiped the Nile River, so God made it blood, and on, he's judging their gods. The rod of authority, that stick, is actually a picture of prayer. Does anybody remember off the top of your head, what did God have Moses do each time with that rod, with that stick? What did he do with it?
Touch things.
He what?
Touch things or put it down. Or
no, that's the snake thing. But when he's facing Pharaoh, most of the time, what did he do? What did our text say?
Throws it down.
No, he said stretch it out, or some translations say lift it up. So each time, it's a picture of prayer. Moses is facing a problem. Here's Pharaoh. This is where I live. There's resistance. It's not working. I said, let my people go. On this level, nothing's changing. It's not working. So what is God's answer? Stretch your rod out, or take that staff of authority, put it toward heaven. And that is actually what prayer is all about. Let's go back to our verse 16 and 17.
And the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt.
Okay, so this is a picture of prayer. What do you do first? You stretch it out, and that would be the idea of lifting it up. That's toward heaven. Then you bring it down to earth. He smites the dust. You bring it down to earth. That's what prayer is all about. Prayer is not just saying nice words. Prayer is not, oh, omnipotent, gracious, eternal, heavenly one. No, prayer is, God, I need your power where I live. I am going through a problem here in my finances, in my fruitfulness, in my marriage, whatever the problem is. God, I need the power of God to come down. Isn't that what prayer is all about? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. So that is prayer. Six times Moses or Aaron specifically lifted up the rod of God and the supernatural judgment came. So here are a couple of quick lessons before we move on. That means you have to rely on supernatural power in order to do God's will. Do not think if I outwork the devil, it'll work. No, that's not going to be enough. You need to rely on it. So if you're going to rely on supernatural power, that will begin. You need revelation. All of these start with Moses hearing from God. At the end of the day, you need to hear from God about your situation. And to apply that, what does that mean? You're struggling in finances. What does God say about that? You're struggling in fruitfulness. What does God say? That is why I have and teach all of you the principle of what is unacceptable. That's not just based on how I feel. According to God's word, it's not acceptable that we be in poverty or barren or struggling with the demonic powers. And so you need revelation. Secondly, if in each of these it is prayer, you need to learn how to pray. A bad time to learn how to pray is when you get sent out to pastor. I've seen guys, somehow they have kind of coasted along, and then they go out in ministry. But the problem is they've never really learned how to pray now. So if your whole future is going to be dependent on prayer, you better get good at it. You better learn how. How do you learn if you're good at it? By results. It's not by how nice it sounds. This is what the problem was. I started crying out to God based on his revelation and something changed. Let's talk secondly about the resistance of hell. The reason why you need supernatural power, according to our text, is that the enemy will resist. He will fight God's will. Moses has this encounter where God throws down the stick. He becomes a snake. He, in his mind, I'm sure he thought, come on, how cool is that? Pharaoh, let my people go. Why should I? Watch this. Throws down the, and he just thinks Pharaoh's going, oh my God. But the story of Pharaoh is the devil fights back. Exodus 7, 11, and 12.
Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs.
Okay, so we looked at this in a lesson on supernatural resistance, and that is, this had to mess with Moses' head. Pharaoh fights back. It's like playing poker with the devil. I see your snake, and I raise you. So you got to learn that is because you say, I'm gonna do the will of God, the devil doesn't leave town. I'm going to find somebody else to torment. Clearly, they're going to do the will of God. Because you arrive in town, the devil doesn't go away. The devil wants to intimidate. This is why there's sometimes sickness and things break supernaturally. There's financial reversals, lack of sleep, mental oppression, because the devil's fighting back. So the lesson of Pharaoh that we keep repeating is Pharaoh is stubborn. The devil is stubborn. He does not want to let go of people. He doesn't want God to rule. Exodus 7, 13.
Pharaoh's heart, however, remained hard. He still refused to listen, just as the Lord had predicted.
Okay, Pharaoh's heart The word that is used again is again and again with Pharaoh is either the word hard or harden. His heart grew hard, and that word is actually to stiffen the neck. It's talking about stubbornness. He refuses to let go. He refuses to listen. He will not. Eight times the Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Five times it says Pharaoh's heart grew hard. The point of that resistance is to discourage you, so you come to the conclusion it's never going to change. Nothing is ever going to change in my situation. I've tried, I've prayed, I do that. That's the classic strategy of hell. If it was going to change, it would have changed by now, right? So therefore, give up. Why should you even keep trying? Because you prayed about this. How many times? It's not changed. Give up. There's no point in going on. Final thought, let's talk about pressing through. Think about Moses. Moses didn't know how many plagues there were going to be. We know there were 10, right? I don't remember how many, the one we chose here about the lice, I can't remember if this is 5 or 6. So if it's 6, we know Pharaoh, Moses, keep going, 4 to go. And then Pharaoh is going to let go. Moses didn't know that, right? God didn't tell him, okay, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be 10 of them. It's going to be blood and frogs and lice and darkness. And he didn't know that. All he knows is, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. No. All right, there's a judgment. And after the judgment, the Bible says each time Pharaoh would harden his heart. Okay, all right. Another judgment. In Moses' mind, it's like, for crying out loud. If he understood the gods of Egypt, as I said here, according to my reading in the past, there were 10 main gods. But in actual fact, they had 29 gods that were very common. They actually had hundreds. Can you imagine Moses going, for crying out loud, I hope I don't have to do this 276 times. How long? All he knew is that Pharaoh kept hardening his heart. So the lesson of this is, right now there might be resistance in your life, or you may come up against a situation where there's resistance. God's promise is that the resistance of hell ultimately is no match for the power of God. How many times are you going to have to pray before it changes? I don't know. That's not the point. The point is not for God to send us the holy number. The point is, hell is no match. If you will keep going, Pharaoh has to let go. Matthew 28, 18.
Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
All authority. That's what Jesus says. The Great Commission of Matthew 28, going all the world, make disciples. He is saying here, the starting point of that is, I have all authority. The devil doesn't have all authority. God has it. Revelations 1, 18.
I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of death and the grave.
Okay, I think King James says, I have the keys of hell and death. Whoever has the keys is the one who determines what happens. Right? That's the point. Some of you don't have a key to the building, so you can't determine when the door opens. Some of you have a key. Our keys are electronic. You can open one door, but it won't open anything else. But the Bible says, Jesus says, I have the keys. I determine what happens. You need to remember that in like Luke 9, verse 1. Did I give that to? Luke 9:1.
And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases.
Okay, every disciple, I don't care how long you're saved, disciple means a follower of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus, He gives you all the power you're going to need to win. So therefore, what Moses had to do, he had to press it through. Pharaoh's resisting. I don't know how long this is going to take, but I am going to press it through. I'll do whatever it takes. The point in God is you can't lose if you don't quit. If you quit, can't help you. So I don't know where you're at. Right now, maybe you're going through a very discouraging time. If you will continue, don't quit. God will help you. If you will refuse to let the devil intimidate you into thinking there's no point in going on, then ultimately, I can guarantee God will help you. You'll win. Okay, let's open for questions then. Something you want to ask. Eli.
You mentioned that you measure whether you're good at praying by effectiveness and results.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever a time that you felt your prayers lacked supernatural results? And where would you begin in trying to change that?
Well, prayer is, first of all, based on the starting point of prayer is knowing what God says. Prayer is not a matter of if you say these words, right? I have guys ask me, do I pray in Jesus' name or in the name of Jesus? Who cares? It's not the words. It's not how beautiful it sounds. In that is, so you want to get good at prayer. The starting point, I can pray effectively if I already know what God wants to do in the first place. You'll always pray better if you know that. Otherwise, it's kind of hoping, isn't it?
Yeah.
Prayer is not hoping. I hope something changes. Prayer is, this is what you said. Therefore, this has to change in whatever words you use. Yep.
How would you, in prayer, tell the difference between ineffectiveness and a resistance of the prayer you're praying for?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, obviously, the answer is over time. So you're going to have all kinds of things in life. Some things are very long term. Okay, so hopefully you're not just praying about one thing in your whole life, right? This is the only thing I'm praying for, because that might be something that takes many, many years. But there should be some evidence, right? This is why I come back to, guys ask me, what do I look for in disciples? A supernatural dimension. You need some evidence. You don't have to have every problem in your life fixed, but you better be able to point to, I prayed and it changed here. So complete ineffectiveness is, nowhere in my life do I see any breakthrough. I don't see anything change. I don't see any favor in my life. So that's kind of probably will give you a good gauge. Part of the answer, Daniel, to that question is not as simple as me giving you the answer. There are things that God deliberately doesn't make clear, because part of maturity, you're supposed to wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's, of course, against the devil. But there are things you're supposed to wrestle with. God doesn't make it clear. He doesn't have an app for things. I can put in all the factors. Oh, is that what's going on? You're meant to wrestle, because the wrestling makes you come back to, I'm dead if God doesn't help me at the end of the day. So you're not supposed to have super clear answers in every, is that God, is that the devil? I don't know. Wrestle with it. So that's gonna, Matt?
Why is it, or how is it some people's prayers seem to be like more effective? Mm-hmm. Like, my wife, she prays for things all the time, and it's just like, I'm like, you're kidding. How? So I just give my prayer list to her, and
let's all pay Priscilla.
So, like, have you seen them, or some people just like, I don't know, it's not like a gift of prayer, but
at the end of the day, I think it's faith, which comes back to God's word, right?
Okay.
You remember me tell you the story? I had a lady when I lived in the city of Melbourne. Parking in big cities is like really expensive. And so we would come on outreach. We would say, we're going to meet at this place for the street meeting. I would circle the block 47 times trying to find a spot so I didn't have to pay, you know, $20 for parking. And that was back in 1987. I had a lady, she had 6 kids. And I would get to the outreach after circling the block. I would get there and I would say, man, I found a parking place like 3 blocks down. Where did you get one? She goes, right in front of where we went. Like, how many times did you go around the block? And she would say, I didn't. She said, my Heavenly Father loves me. She goes, I pray. I got a lot of kids. I need help. And so God gives me parking space. So she had faith for that. I've never developed that faith for parking spaces. You know? But I think that's kind of, there are people, they have faith for money. They have faith for healing. They have faith for fruitfulness, you know, in that way. So it's that's what Jesus said, according to your faith be it unto you. The point of the story is not, I want you all to develop parking space faith, but it's whatever you believe, you'll be much more effective at praying. Yep. Somebody else? A question.
You said for like prayer is like you get answered, get results. Is that like dominion? Like you can say that's like a dominion thing?
Yeah. Authority produces dominion. Dominion is the right to rule. If you think about the story of Pharaoh, Pharaoh rules. Who determines what happened with God's people? Pharaoh. No, I will not let you go. So in other words, he runs things. He determined their freedom, their finances, you know, their health, many different things. So if you use authority, which is the right to rule, you gain dominion, which means now you determine what happens, or you determine by God's will, of course. That's what dominion actually is. We rule. The devil doesn't rule anymore. So yeah, but authority is the process. The result is dominion.
So you said that when you're facing resistance, you can't just try harder. Right? It's got to be something supernatural. But where's the balance in?
But you do have to try hard, yeah. Yeah. It is a truth that has tension. It pulls in two different ways. When I'm facing resistance, I will try harder. The point is, where is your confidence? My confidence is not in my hard work. I have confidence in God, so I work hard. Right, you see the difference, and it's a subtle thing. Again, that's one of those things you wrestle with. I see guys that they are working hard, and then they actually become bitter at God because they thought their hard work, you owe me. I worked hard, and you didn't help me. You're not fair. But that means your confidence was in your hard work, not in God. Yeah. So the point is not, I just trust God, and I'm a lazy bum, and I don't do anything. No. But the answer is, I trust God, so I work hard. That's the balance. Is David?
There was a time, I would say, for a number of years before I ever had any significant, I felt like I had any significant breakthrough in God helping us. I mean, he helped us in different ways, but I mean, like, feeling like I was making an impact and getting people saved and that sort of thing. But then now, years down the road, I had a lot of confidence in that.
Mm-hmm.
But so many different things happen over time. A lot of prayers, obviously, where I work and stuff, I learn a lot. But I can't attribute it to a specific thing. So how does somebody go from being discouraged with not letting a breakthrough in their life to a place where they have confidence? Because now I have faith to pray for pretty much anything to help me.
Yeah.
Back then, it was awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So, but It always comes back to finding out what God says, right? The Bible says that Ziklag, David encouraged himself in the Lord. So there are times when you are completely discouraged. Everything in the world is piling up on you. Nothing is working. Everything's bad. You have to have the ability to come back. Even in spite of that, God said he's going to help me. So that's difficult. This is not an easy, I wake up in the morning. It's like, I am going to trust God. I'm going to find out what God says when your head is spinning. So part of that is when you are absolutely rock bottom in discouragement. But then in these areas, you come back. If you will find out what God says and press that, you'll get a breakthrough. That's the point. then in time, results give you confidence, greater confidence. The confidence actually should start in God's word, not the results. If your confidence, you understand what I'm saying? If my confidence is in the results, then, well, often, you know, I have prayer healing services to where at the end I want to go sell insurance. I'll never pray for the sick again. That sucked, man. That was horrible. But I can't do that. It doesn't matter how that service went. God's word is true. So I come back and, you know, then you develop an overall confidence. You still will not win every battle, even if you have great confidence. And, you know, part of that is just because the resistance of hell. Part of that is because our head would be the size of Texas. We couldn't fit in the door. So, you know, you can't win everyone. But you have to be able to come back to what God says at the end of the day. Trevor.
So I'm running into an issue, and I know this is part of my fault now, because what you're explaining is exactly what I need to hear. So whenever I'm outreaching or trying to witness to somebody, I keep running into the issue where it becomes like more of like an argument to prove whether or not Jesus
loved
it. You know what I mean? And I'm like, you know, I'll compare yourself. You know what I mean? Now I'm comparing it and contrasting it. But it's more or less like I'm trying to like work down, like maybe I got to pitch it better, and I'm going to get a sale better. I gotta read the scripture. You know what I mean? I gotta read the scripture and be confident in that. Because from my understanding, I'm running into it as me trying to show them. And I'm like, you know, more or less, I'm trying to sell them the Holy Spirit. I'm like, why would you want to take that drug? Are you doing it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really good enough. Is that basically what I'm struggling with? I just need to be scripture and confident in the Word of God.
Yes.
Of
exactly. So just ask God to make you effective.
Yeah. Okay.
But you have started on the right path, recognizing you can't talk people into getting saved, can you?
Yeah.
Shouldn't that be that would be the easiest thing? Look, hell is hot. Any questions? Come on, that should be the easiest thing in the world.
To quote Heather from last night, you know, I believe by not being versed in the scripture, I'm ultra crepidarian when I come to outreach again.
What?
Ultra crepidarian.
Yes. Okay. All right. There you go. Which is?
It's speaking on a topic which you're not an expert.
Oh, okay. There you go.
You are an expert.
Oh. But on the other hand, you need to have confidence in God's word first. On the other hand, always remember it's pointless getting into an argument because that never changes somebody. What you have is more powerful than what anybody will ever argue with you about, and that is your experience.
Right.
What has Jesus done for you?
Yeah.
All you have to do, number one, is tell them what God has done for you. Number two, my father used to always teach us in witnessing, go for the heart. Yeah. He would say, what about the dinosaurs? I don't know about the dinosaurs. I never studied that. Don't really care, actually. I never met one, so it's not going to change my life. But often I would refuse to get into argument. What about starving children in Africa or whatever? I don't know. All I know is that in people will argue with you, but people basically wrestle with guilt. They feel bad for what they've done, even if they won't admit it. They will wrestle with emptiness. You know, David Maldonado, I just was preaching for him the last 2 days, and so he told me his testimony. He said he was at a party. They're all getting drunk. He's partying, and he's like, oh, man, we're having a great time. And the guy next to him said, I am so sick of doing this.
Yeah.
And David was like, you're kidding. I thought... He said, I've been trying to be like you because we're all having fun. You're sick of it. He said... This isn't working. That's underneath the surface. So if you'll go for the heart, never mind the waka waka of the argument they have. I don't. It is never be afraid to say, I don't know. I don't know is an acceptable answer. People ask me really tricky questions. I don't know. Why did that happen? Why did grandma die? I have no idea. It's not my job to explain it. Go for the heart instead.
Yeah, so sincerity. Because the guy said the one thing that touched him was my testimony. I told him like how I enjoy the passions and things that I like again. And
yeah.
It's something that I can't really, I just want to share it too. That's the only thing.
Exactly.
And so that he's like, that touched me more than you trying to tell me. So I felt feel like maybe by scripture, learning scripture, when they ask me a question about the Bible or something, I can give that to them.
Yeah.
You know, so but my sincere...
That's exactly that right. Which is your testimony, your life story, and your experience is what will help you. Good. Very good. Devin?
So, Pastor, what was the key to Moses continuing to press in 10 times when he didn't see results the first time?
Well, he had an encounter with God and heard from God, right? Mm-hmm. In each of those, he heard from God. What does God say? So that's the key. If you don't build your own revelation... You know, I recognize I am a man of faith. I believe God. So people that get around me, I can temporarily stir their faith. I'm not talking about hype or sales. When you get around someone who believes something, you start wanting to believe it. But that's not going to last. That all that does is put you on the path to developing your own revelation. So that's, at the end of the day, if you are just... Wow, I'm excited about what Pastor Greg said. Then Pharaoh's going to slap you in the chops, and then you go, "Oh my God, it doesn't work." You gotta have your own revelation. That's the point. Somebody else.
Is it valid to like make lists of God's promises? Even if you're in a situation that it really applies to, then in the future go back to it. Like, hey, God, you said this.
Yeah, yeah. You can. I have lists of scriptures. I didn't. Any way you do it is fine. I didn't do it like, okay, what are all the issues I may possibly face in life? Really, I have lists of scripture. Hey, guys, can I have your list? No, it won't help you. Because those were in battles. I was struggling to death, so I went and found out what God said. That's often the most effective, is in the battle you find out what it is. But then there's obviously a desire. What do you want? You want to be fruitful? You better find out what God says about that. You need financial help? You better find out what God says. And on and on and on. Yep.
Oh, sorry? You've touched, and I've heard you say before about how if you have, say you have a breakthrough in one area, and then another area, it's really, really nothing's happening, you can pray. Transferable, like authority.
Yes.
In praying for that, that just remind, just saying, God, you know, you've helped me in this. You can help
Absolutely.
Me in that. That's valid in what we're talking about of authority. Correct.
Yes. Okay. That is why. That's why, as a part of gratitude, has milestones. Right. So in the children of Israel, there were various places he said, write it. Inscribe it on a rock, build a pile of stones. The point of that, those are milestones that you come back to. He said, you build this pile of stones, and later on when your children say, what do they mean? Well, let me tell you what God did. You have to do that personally. That is why, and as a part of gratitude, Lisa and I, we often will rehearse to each other. We will just talk about the places and the points in time that God helped us. The reason why we do that is not nostalgia, right? Oh, I remember the time. You know, what it is if God did that, he can do anything. If he helped us there, he can help us here. So it is a deliberate, that's what David did. You've heard me say that, faith is transferable. It's David said, I fought the lion, I fought the bear, so I can fight the giant. He is making the connection, right? So part of it is facing a new problem, but he's pulling on past experience. So you got to do that for yourself. That is you can't be effective at anything in life unless you're a thinker. So isn't that part of what you do in life, is you think, where did God help me before? That's gratitude. That keeps you safe. That's what I often say, and you know, I was having question and answer when I was just in Farmington. Lisa and I do not, my wife and I do not spend time sitting around talking about people and how much they affect us. If I did, you understand how many people I meet, how many frustrating problems I have an average week? I could spend 24 hours a stinking day telling, you know, just talking about all the things that vex me. I will not live like that. I refuse. What I want to do is I talk about the good things of God. I'm not living in the river of Egypt denial. There are no problems in life. No, I got problems.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, I hate living in unbelief and bitterness, and I'm not going to be a cranky old man mad at the world over all the people that let me down and the situation. I'm not going to do that. I refuse. I talk about the good things of God. That's why I love to tell stories of what God has done. It keeps my faith alive. Right? You don't hear me, let me give you a list of all the people that have burned me through the years. I'm not living like that. That sucks. And anybody I meet like that, ooh, they do not do well in life.
Are we given authority the moment we get saved, or is that something you have to work for?
No, the moment. It's a gift. That's why you've heard me say, some of the guys here in the rehab, they've been saved weeks. They could pray for the sick. They could claim God's power right now. You don't have to qualify for it. You don't have to wait. Yeah, absolutely. That is part of salvation.
Now, your faith has grown over time. And is it because of the things that you have seen that have lined up with Scripture? Or can you obtain that much faith simply by believing the Word? But you kind of have to see things.
Yeah. No, faith is practical. It's not just a doctrine. Like, I know all this stuff about faith in the Bible. Yeah. No, that's why I, you know, back to Anthony's question is, when I was, you know, my life changed forever. I pioneered for 18 months and then I took a church. And I took a church and it was the hand of God, because they hadn't had anybody saved and added the church for like 2.5 years. Everybody in church was in poverty. I had 30 adults. I think 5 of them were in the hospital at the same time. You understand statistically how bad that is? I'm talking, this church was, they were in, there was nothing good happening. So what it did is, I'm not living like this. So I went to God's, what does God say? So I started finding every scripture on answered prayer, on power, on miracles, on healing. That is when my life changed. I can tell you, I lived in a place, 3 Woodley Place in Gladstone Park in the city of Melbourne. It's inscribed in my mind, in my office, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It went from here to here. It was mine, baby. And nothing had changed in the church, but I knew God was going to help us. And he did. Fruitfulness. Our very first meeting, a Chinese millionaire in my poverty church. This lady had been raised with unbelievable wealth, raised with servants. She calls up, I see the meeting you're having, would I be allowed to attend? And I said, yes. And she said, but I want to come to all the sessions. And I said, I think there's room. And she said, I would like to bring some people. Is that okay? And I said, I still think we can fit you in. Got saved. Evelyn Quiet is saved to this day. In the church. That was miracle number one. Then I began to see miracles in finances. We began to get breakthroughs. And then I began to see miracles of healing. That is where I started praying for the sick. So yes, it was not theory. I was telling the guys in Farmington, I can't remember what the question was. I remember the very first sermon I ever preached on faith. I was pioneering. I was so excited. I got every book. I searched every scripture. I preached for 1 hour and 5 minutes on faith, and I didn't have a bit of it. I had people that never came back to church after that. Why don't you preach long, Pastor Greg? Because I learned. It's a painful experience. Back then, it was just theory. You have to, I can tell you what God does. The Word of God says it, but then you begin to build up a resume of
experiences.
Experiences, yes. Yep. Good. Good question, Brian.
When you're saying that you search for these scriptures, are you just finding them as you're reading, or are you like, because obviously, like, today we have the internet, we can look up stuff, but would that be the same as, like,
well, the point is not just assembling a list,
yeah,
right? Obviously, is I am reading that. The real point of why I had it is to pray over. In prayer, I wasn't coming like, oh God, I really hope someone gets saved. It's like, your word says. So I am praying over it. I'm studying it. I'm memorizing it. So it's not just, I hit, certain keys on the keyboard, put it in a list and print it out, and I've got faith. No, you gotta work it out. So it would be both. I would, as in I'm reading, scriptures would occur to me, and I would write them down. And then, of course, I would be searching, okay, power. Find all the scriptures on power. Which one of those apply to me? You know, faith, healing, whatever. And yeah. So but it's not just a list. You got to do something with that list. You read it, you memorize it, you study it, you pray over it. And you quote it. Pharaoh comes and says it'll never work. So I talk back to Pharaoh. But God's word says, that's where power is, right? Good.
So it's, you're reading the Bible and you see, other people that have testimonies of what God's done and stuff, and it's so easy to get into this idea that, well, God will do it for them and God is capable of doing it, but, will he do it for me? And how do you get to that point where you can really feel like God really wants to do it for you as well,
Part of when I was studying God's word for miracles, I really wanted miracles of healing. One of the scriptures that stood out to me is Peter saying, I have learned in Acts chapter 10, God is not a respecter of persons. In other words, he doesn't play favorites. So that scripture I would pray over, I would think of men of God that I knew had miracle power, and I would say, God, you're not a respecter of person. That means if you did it for them, you'll do it for me. That's actually the stories in the Bible, why they're there. It's actually to encourage, if he did it for Elijah, he'll do it for you. And in the very first miracle of healing I did, that was the biker that came in, a new convert. He had a horrible motorcycle accident. His femur was so pulverized, they actually cut out 2 inches of it and put it back together. His leg was short, not an adjustment. It was literally short. And I'm praying for him. The first time, nothing happens. Let's pray again. Second time, nothing happens. The third time I prayed for him, I said under my breath, because I had seen as a boy, evangelist Harry Hills had prayed for people, their legs grew out. And this is the prayer that I prayed. God, it worked for Harry Hills. And you don't love Harry more than you love me. In the name of Jesus, I command that leg to come out. And that leg grew out. Did a miracle. So I applied God's word. That's what you have to do for yourself. Good. Very good questions. All right. I'll give you the lesson for today.